I'm so excited to talk to you guys about today's sponsor, Prose. Prose is the custom beauty brand that is all over your feed. I had been wanting to try them for so long. And when I tell you guys that I put on my Instagram story that they were going to be sponsoring the podcast, I got so many genuine organic responses from my following of people being like, oh my God, I love Prose. I've been using it for years. So don't even just take it from me, but take it from the genuine people that reached out agreeing with me about how much they love Prose. And when Prose says custom, they actually mean it. Each and every bottle of Prose custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and beauty goals. One of the coolest parts of the questionnaire that I thought was they literally asked me about my location and my zip code so that they could understand how hard the water is here, what the UV index is like, if it's cold, if it's dry, and all of that goes into these truly personalized products. Prose even did a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised controlled clinical study, aka the gold standard in research studies, and Prose proved that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. So try it for yourself and get your healthiest hair in 30 days or your money back. Prose is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering the Arty Friends listeners an exclusive trial offer so that you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/artyfriends. That's prose.com/artyfriends for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. prose.com/artyfriends.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Arty Friends. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today we're back for our What Would Your Bestie Do segment, where you send in your questions and we do our best to give our advice and answer them.
And we've got some juicy questions today that have never been before answered on the Arty Friends podcast. We're talking dating, breakups, friend zone. You guys came with the questions this week.
Yes, absolutely. We're excited to jump into that. But first, as always, we're going to catch up really quick and share what's going on. So any updates on your end, Allison?
Oh my God, the last like 5 days. I can't even put it on paper how many things I've done in the past 5 days. It's been like go, 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 go. And I was with a friend last night and I was telling her how when I first opened New Wave, I wanted to prove to everyone how hard I worked. So I would like always try to show like the behind the scenes and explain to people and be like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Like I just worked 16 hours, like, you know, just to prove to people all the effort that went in. And then I saw something on TikTok about like this law of universal ease. And I think it's like it has a better title, but that's basically the premise that if you're saying everything is hard, it's going to seem hard and you're like perpetuating that reality for yourself. But if you're like, everything is easeful and I'm in flow, then like it will feel that way. So I was like, okay, I need to shift. Well, as I always do, I swung the pendulum all the way to the other direction. I feel like the last 2 years, and I've tried to make it seem like everything is so easy. And I also feel like generally on social media, it's been like that for 2 years where everyone's trying to make it seem like all their success just is like so effortless. And I saw this one video, I'll link it. She was talking about, she's like, can we just all be like try hard girls? Like, why is it always the effortless cool girl? Like, we're not effortless. We are working out. We are making to-do lists. We're doing our skincare. Like, we're trying so fucking hard. So why are we all making it seem like we're not? Because it's like gaslighting ourselves into making it seem like we're not putting in the effort. And why is it bad to put in effort? And so... Yeah, I just feel like looping that back to like my last 5 days, I feel like I have this pride thing where I've been trying to make it seem like I like don't have things to do or like my schedule is so free and flowy. And you know, I got a lot to do. And I love it that way. And I make my life how it is. But I mean, I can run down through Friday, Saturday, like rapid fire, just to give some perspective if you want. Okay, Thursday, clean the Airbnb, worked shop. I can't even remember what I did Thursday night, but Friday is like where it got really crazy. Woke up early. One of my long-term Airbnb roommates, he moved out. So I had to start cleaning his room because my next long-term Airbnb roommate is moving in and he had a dog. And so I had to pick all the dog's poop up off the roof. And there was like
Wait, food in there.
No. Really cool guy. And I did text him and I was like, could you clean it up before you leave? And he just like did it. And so then I had to like start all the laundry, fully like start cleaning up that room, and then had to get some content up for a client, open the shop at 11, work from 11 to 5. But while I'm working at the shop, I also have to do like 10 other things. I'm like posting content on 1404's Instagram, like cleaning in there, greeting customers, got done at 5:30. Customers stayed late, had to shoot an event all the way across town from 6 to 10, came home and worked on stuff till midnight, woke up at like 7 and then was still trying to clean the room because I still have the roommate moving in. So like was finishing up laundry. And then Saturday morning, woke up, coordinated for my sister to help me flip the other Airbnb, like New Waves Airbnb, made a video for the client, posted it. It's getting a lot of views, so that's good. Started like going through the content from the event. Me and my stepbrother went for a walk, went to a coffee shop, took Beaches to the park to play with her. Then we came home and just like randomly decided that we were going to fully rearrange the sunroom, like as if I had time for that. And then all of a sudden I was like, I have to be at work in like 12 minutes and I'm like in a hoodie and no makeup. So I like scrambled, got ready, ran downstairs, dropped all the clean linens off for New Ways Airbnb for my sister so that they're ready for her, opened the shop, had a few drop-offs of people getting new inventory or putting it out. I can't remember what else. Worked there, came home, had a bunch of stuff that I didn't need in my apartment. So I listed on Facebook Marketplace. My friend picked me up to go out last night, right after dinner. Came home. Now it's 9 a.m. on Sunday. We're recording the podcast. It's St. Patrick's Day. New roommate moves in today. I have to work shop open to close. I have a friend's birthday party and then plans after the friend's birthday party. So like, but that's, I feel like how it is most days, but I just try to make it seem like it's not because it makes me feel like I'm not organized or something. You know what I mean?
Also, do you feel like this is the type of busy that you want to maintain or do you think it's doing too much?
I think it feels fun. It like gets my adrenaline going and it keeps me out of my head because then I just do the stuff. I'm like, I don't have time to like procrastinate. I don't have time to second guess the content or what I'm doing because then when things really slow down, then I'm like, wait, is this what I want to do? And sometimes I need that. But I think my mental health is better when I'm just kind of in the work go mode.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like the weather's good, then it feels really fun. And the weather's been great.
Yeah. And it's, we're coming out of hibernation. So honestly, it's probably fine because winter was the chill. I don't know if that's how it was for you, but I know winter traditionally you're supposed to hibernate and chill and do things slower. So now that it's warming up, we're all just going to get crazy busy again.
Yeah, it collectively feels like things are moving faster.
Yeah. Well, wow. You sound booked and busy. Because I know in the past, you have said that you've like done a lot of work and not as much prioritized like the social, like doing fun things. So do you feel like this is you like incorporating that back in?
Yeah, I feel like that's the difference is before when I first opened New Wave, it was like so much work and not enough play that then it was burning me out. But now that I'm incorporating so much social in and like literally our eight dimensions has helped me so much because I'm like, oh, I can do all the things. Like I can go on a walk with a friend. I can go to a workout class with a friend. I can go do a sound bath event with a friend.
I
can meditate. I can meditate in between things. Like having those tools in my toolbox to help me. Like I knew when I got off last night, like I was a little overwhelmed from like the high of the day. And I just locked the door, obviously, once we closed. And I kind of just like sat at the checkout counter for like 10 minutes by myself and decompressed before I got home. Yeah. And old me would have just like sprinted home and then been like, oh my God, such a long day. And yeah, then it's like, I need to do what I need to do in order to keep showing up for all those things. Because when I used to work at Barry's, my life felt so good. Like there was so much social, so much work, but it was a great balance. And I was like thinking about how good life felt at that time. So getting back to that has been great.
Oh, I love that. What was one other thing you said that I was going to comment on?
I think it's kind of the going out that's helping because not going out for 3 years stripped me of a lot of like community, taking my mind off work. Because even if I stayed home previously, like I'm like, oh, I might as well work on something. Like it was too hard to turn off the work mode. And now like a friend and I just like, we went to this really cute, it's called Mon Cave. I think it means the cave in French. It was like a little hole in the wall in the old market. And I had never even seen it before. But it was just like her and I, like we shared a little appetizer, glass of wine, sat by the fireplace and just like, you know, dumped our hearts out in that little basement. Like I didn't have to think about work. Like that's healthy. Mm-hmm. And so even I guess I'm realizing like if a glass of wine is involved in that, but it's doing all this other stuff for me, is it outweighing like the negative ramifications of like a glass of wine?
Yeah.
So yeah, feeling.
Oh, I love this for you. Fine. Okay, the last thing I was gonna say is I like that philosophy of saying things are easy, it makes it easy. Cause I totally agree with that. Like, cause I feel like I'm someone who does like hustle, bustle, not as crazy as that. That was a lot of craziness. But
oh no, you definitely do.
Yeah. When you tell myself it's easy, and I feel like it does trick your brain into thinking it's easy because I don't get like so stressed out about it.
No. And I just think like you and I outwardly, even on the podcast or socials, like we do try to make it seem like fun and easy. But you and I are also like, if we're like going to the bathroom after a group of people, we're like answering an email. Like
that's so
if
true.
I step up, like if we're on a flight, like we're writing an outline. Like there's so much behind the scenes of all these little things that we do that like people will never see unless like a camera followed us around for like a few days. It would be like, oh, that's how it's all getting done.
Yeah.
And I just don't think we give ourselves enough credit.
No, I think you're right. I wonder why. I mean, I can think of why. I feel like people don't want to see try hard stuff on the internet because maybe it makes them not feel as good about what they're not trying hard at.
Mm-hmm. And if you post that stuff, like it comes off as like bragging or something.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. So then the whole dialogue, I feel like on socials for the past few years has been like, don't show like how hard it is behind the scenes. Just like show the beautiful result and make people think that it's just like all came naturally.
Or if you're showing the behind the scenes, it's like, well, you're an influencer. There's people that work on oil rigs. Like get a fucking grip.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. So I'm not going to show the behind the scenes and then I'm going to have this amazing brand that does millions in sales and you guys are just going to think that's easy.
Mm-hmm. But I also think that that has set up some people for failure because if we see people online that have made it look so easy and then you try to start your own business or whatever it is and you're like, wait, this is not easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't give an accurate representation of how hard it is. And then I think it's easy to get in your head and be like, wait, what's wrong with me? Because why is this hard for me? Or even like being like a fit girl with like your hair and makeup and nails and everything done all the time. It's like, that isn't easy. Like you have to be disciplined to get to the gym all the time, to look hot, to have good outfits. Like, you know, just wake up like that.
I know. I definitely think that I see people's fit bodies online and I don't think about how much work that takes. Like that's probably unrealistic for most people, but
yeah, I know. And then people comment like genetics and that's just so mean.
No, it's like, sure. I'm sure that plays a part of it for sure, but it's so discrediting to everybody else's hard work.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's
maybe
a lot.
We'll see. Yeah, I think you're right. It is a pendulum. I feel like 2020 had a lot of good behind the scenes. I remember following some of the best creators in peak COVID 2020 that showed the behind the scenes of how they did their Shopify store, how they started their makeup brand, how they got their furniture overseas, custom made, all this stuff. And then I think we got into like a entertainment phase. But I think we're going back to like the educational content being big and what people are liking.
It is. Every single thing is always the pendulum. It goes intense one way, intense the other way, moves back and forth. But it's all cyclical because I think in 2020, people had more time to create that behind the scenes and people were paying attention and people were watching longer videos because they're at home. So they're like, wait, I want to see how you did that. And then people are like, okay, I guess I could show you because maybe my shop is closed right now or, you know, maybe I'm not traveling. And then people got busy again and they're like, I don't have time to show the grind. I got to go.
I agree. I think that's spot on exactly what happened.
Well, okay. Sorry for that. Was probably like a 30-minute rant. How was your week?
all of that to say, I think I like everything you said. I think it's going to show some behind the scenes, and maybe we'll start a trend of, or you'll be part of that trend of try hard girlies in 2024.
Try hard girl.
New with me, I would say I just got back from Austin, Texas. I visited McKenna for 2 days. I actually was going to stay for like 4 or 5 days originally. And then probably a week or two after I booked that ticket, I was like, wait, that's way too long. I need 2 days. I need to go home. I honestly could have even done like 1 day, but to change my flight again to the next earlier day was like $200. I'm like, okay, no, we're just going to stay with 2 days. And it was so fun. The first day, me and McKenna had off because she's a nurse. So because I was visiting my sister, she and I went to South by Southwest, which was so fun. If you guys don't know what South by is, you basically, there's all these brands and companies or even just like cool parties that are hosted all around the city, and the brands will put on events. I think it's, I don't know what the original start was. I mean, it's really about like tech and networking, and there's lots of cool speakers, people, the best of all industries come in and speak. But then also there's just like cool, fun concerts. It's all about music and food. So we made it a goal to eat only for free on Wednesday. So even when we woke up, we're like, no, we cannot go buy coffee. We cannot go buy anything. We have to eat for free. But first, we both wanted to work out. So it started. So the night before, we had a flight back to Austin. We ate Chipotle at 9 p.m. right before our flight. That next day, we both woke up. We slept in because we were so tired from the bachelorette trip, because I came straight from my bachelorette trip in Puerto Rico. We both did. Went straight to Austin. So we slept in until like 10, 11. We both went and worked out. Got back at like 12:30, noon. Showered, got ready. By the time we left our apartment, it was 2:30. And keep in mind, we had not broken our rule yet.
We recorded the intro of the episode Wednesday too.
Yeah.
So you also snuck that in there.
Oh my gosh, I forgot that I did that. Yeah, we did that too. And so then we found an event giving out free lattes. It was the Citizen M Hotel, which is these really nice hotels in Austin that had just opened. They were doing like a 2 to 5 free coffee happy hour. And you literally just walked in and got a free coffee. Like, you didn't have to do anything. Like, you just had to hang out in their lobby. But it was so nice. And yeah, got a latte, tipped our barista, hung out there. And then we were like, okay, where's the next place? Found these sandwiches at realtor.com's event. So they had these like bougie sandwiches, and they weren't just like basic sandwiches. They were delicious. Sandwiches, drinks. We weren't drinking. We just got like sparkling water. Went to the next thing. They had Texas barbecue, whiskey tastings, free drinks. I mean, so much. There's just so much free food. So within 2 hours, we were stuffed. Went to all these different things, met some cool people, and we achieved our goal. I mean, McKenna was very worried because I get very hangry. McKenna was like, Kara's going to explode if we don't eat. But I was doing fine. I think my body needed to be hungry, needed to like reset from all the bachelorette. Because I feel like, honestly, in Puerto Rico, we would just eat and go to the beach and eat and then go to the pool and eat and go out. And like, it was just a lot of eating.
So you were due for a skipped meal?
Yeah. And honestly, I was not hangry. McKenna was like, I was very surprised that you did not get cranky. And so I ate at 9, and then we ate again at like 3. No, we ate at 4. So it was almost 24 hours of not eating, which I'm not encouraging, but it was just, we had to follow through on not buying
free food.
Yeah. Because that's what South by is. You just get free food everywhere.
Well, I love that the mission was accomplished.
Yeah.
What else was there that stood out?
We met these super cute two sisters that have an Instagram account, the sisters at South by Southwest. And they were taking like a little selfie, and I went up. I was like, do we take your picture together? And then I saw their cups. They had custom merch of these little like Yeti cups that said the sisters at South by Southwest. And I was like, wait, we're sisters at South by Southwest. And they were like, oh my gosh. I was like, these cute, probably 60s, 50s ladies. We took a group selfie, and I followed their Instagram, and then we ran into them again later in the day, and it was so cute. They like screamed. We all laughed and took pictures together. But I mean, it was honestly kind of uneventful. We just kind of jumped around, heard some live music, ate good food, but nothing crazy, honestly. We were both really tired. We wanted to keep going, but by 7:30, we're like, okay, we had been out for like 4 hours at that point, and then we went home. So I think a lot of the really fun, cool stuff happens if you go out and go to like the concerts or I don't know, all those like cool stuff. Yeah, at night, but we were just so tired. And then Thursday, I was going to go again by myself. myself because we kind of worked, but I got asked to do the shoot for next week for Beautiful Destinations. I'm like, oh my God, if I go on this shoot, I have so much to do. So I just worked remote, worked at a coffee shop, which, you know, that's the reality of working and traveling and like working remote is that you can be in a cool place, but you don't get to do cool stuff 24/7. It's not like an endless vacation. So I just worked at a coffee shop all day. And then McKenna came home, we ate dinner. And then I had some friends that went to Mizzou and that live in Austin, and they were playing sand volleyball. So I got to play sand volleyball with them. And that was so fun. And that lit the fire under me of wanting to play more here in St. Louis. So I think I'm going to start my own team. And then I'll probably be gone a lot of the games, but at least it's like my team that when I'm home, I can go and play. Not like mine, but like, I don't like last year I tried to find a team that I could sub on and I never found a team because I feel like everyone's team's already full because everyone likes sand volleyball. Like no one really needs subs. Maybe as like some other sports you need subs, like kickball or something, but everyone loves sand volleyball for the most part, I think. So I'm going to start my own team.
How many people are on a team?
I mean, 6 play at a time. I feel like if we get like 10, that'd be ideal. Okay. So I already have, I think we got 6 people that are in. But wow. I need to find a few more because I'll definitely be gone.
Is there like a name? Is there a uniform? How's this work?
No, it's just like this like sand volleyball court down the street. You can sign up for the rec league. I mean, maybe we'll think of a name. I don't know. But
okay, so it's not that serious.
It's not that serious. There's easy, medium, or hard levels. And I'm trying to decide if we should do easy or medium. Because medium, it's like almost you have these really good volleyball players that think they're too not good enough for like the hard level. So then they're like going to be an intermediate, but they're still like really good. But then easy, it's like, are we going to play with people who can't even hit it over the net? I don't know.
I think you should do medium.
Yeah. And just get challenged.
Then sometimes the medium might be easier and you'll like definitely win. And then other times you guys might get annihilated and that's fine.
Yeah, that's what our friends in Austin, they were on the medium level. And last week they said they got smoked and that the other team said that they could have beat them. They could have beat their team with their arms tied behind their backs, which I don't know if they meant for them to hear that. But it's like, oh my God, that's savage. They're like, yeah, it was true, but they didn't need to say it to our face. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But then when I played with them, 2 days ago, the team was probably like you said, like medium competition. Like we still lost because we're not ex-volleyball players, but it was still fun.
It was like competitive.
It was a good rally. Yeah, it was competitive for sure.
Cool. Well, I love this for you.
I know. I've been wanting to play sand volleyball for so long. So I got to take matters into my own hands.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Peaks of the week?
Yes. I'll say this happy little moment from this morning. So I woke up, was really craving a pastry from the coffee shop across the street. They have the best pastries. And the coffee cake is my favorite, but it's a little gluttonous because it's a large serving of coffee cake. And coffee cake is just like so much sugar and the icing. And it's not it's not a healthy morning pastry. It is dessert.
Yeah.
That was what I wanted. And then I walked over there and I was like, oh, I should probably get the scone. Like, do I need a piece of coffee cake at 8 o'clock in the morning? Probably not. So I'm like telling the guy at the counter this. I'm like, oh, I really want the coffee cake, but I'll be good and I'll get the scone. And he's like, all right. And I was like, sorry that you had to hear all that and put you through it. So I pay. He even rings up scone. I get home, pull it out of the bag, and it was a fucking coffee cake. I don't know if he was like...
Oh my God.
As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond.
Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This girl needs, because I'm like coming in my like sweats, glasses on, like I'm looking a bit busted. I'm like, I don't know if he was like, nah, she really wanted the coffee cake because I know him. Or if he just like got confused, but either way, I was like so happy because I'm like, well, I didn't have to decide. He decided.
I think that's the universe saying, this girl needs a coffee cake. She's running a million miles an hour. She's burning off plenty of calories. She needs to treat herself.
Yep. Get this.
I'm sure he didn't even realize he did it.
Yeah. It just happened.
That's so funny. How good was it on a scale of 1 to 10?
I had a couple bites. I'm going to finish it after we record because I was like, I don't want to get like an adrenaline sugar high because I'm already like really fucking amped up this morning from I don't know what. I was like, I'll save that dopamine hit for right before I go into work.
A treat for once we're done recording.
Yes. Fun. How about you?
I think just visiting McKenna, hanging out with her in Austin, getting to see her apartment and where she lives has to be my peak.
Love that you guys get so much sister time, even though you guys don't live in the same place. It's like really cool.
I know. I agree. I think we definitely make the time and have a lot of fun together. So that's great. Okay. Listener speaks.
Yes. Maggie said, being creative and making art again.
Fun. Love it. Emma said, wearing a new workout set to my hot yoga class. Yay. We love hot yoga.
Bree said, going on a proper vacation with some sun. I love that for you. Nothing like when you're down bad and then you get sun on a trip and you're just like, oh, I'm back. All is good.
And Avery said, getting stuff done over my March break. Love a productive queen. As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram page, Already Friends Podcast.
Right. Getting into these juicy questions. Which one do we want to start with? Are there any that are really speaking to you?
They're all so good. So honestly, you can pick any of them. And I feel like it's going to be a good combo.
Okay, I'm going to ask this one because I always see social media things about icks. And I just think it would be fun to unpack this question. So it says, how do I overcome some icks about my partner? And if you guys are not well-versed in icks, I feel like anyone young listening understands this. But if maybe you're not chronically online, icks just mean like annoying little things that your partner or even your roommates or like people do that just kind of send a shiver down your spine or make you less attracted to them, maybe sexually, or if you thought they were hot, this would maybe bring them down a little bit. But it's not like necessarily a red flag where it's like alarming. It's just like annoying.
Yeah.
Did I do like a good job explaining that?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. It just gives you that ick. Like it, yeah, the icky feeling. And you're right. It doesn't necessarily mean it's something bad. And sometimes it's almost like you're being too harsh, you know, but it doesn't negate your feelings, but it's just like sometimes you get icked out by silly things. That's what an ick is. So what to do if you're feeling the ick about your partner? I feel like we're always going to have something that icks you out about someone. Like no one's going to be 100% ick free. So I think honestly, in my head, it's deciding if that ick, if it's a deal breaker or not, because I feel like there's some really big icks that you can't fix and that person's always going to have. And if that really bothers you, then I think you need to decide if it's worth ending the relationship or not. But then if there's smaller icks, I think there's a lot of things. I mean, maybe if it's something that you think that person can change, totally communicating it with your partner, I think is important. Maybe taking a step back and, you know, getting some space from that person or even talking to friends and asking if that's really that big of an ick or if you're just being overdramatic. Also, I think people find icks about other people And secretly, they're kind of self-sabotaging. So I think reflecting and doing some journaling or maybe even going to therapy and seeing if you are doing self-sabotage, because I have seen situations where people find an ick for literally every single person and they just convince themselves that that ick is so catastrophic that they need to cut everything off and end the relationship. But I'm like, are you kind of self-sabotaging? So I think you need to reflect and see if the ick is fixable, is approachable. And if it's not, and it's truly bothering you that much, then I think you have to decide if it's a deal breaker or not.
Yeah, piggybacking off of that, I think you need to decide if it's an ick or if it's a deal breaker or a red flag. Because to me, those are like escalated. And an ick is just, I think, something that it shouldn't make or break a relationship. But if this thing
I
is,
agree.
If you're stewing on it and you're thinking about it all the time, I think there's something deeper to it. But if it is just like a casual ick, know that everyone is going to have things that rub you the wrong way. And ask yourself if, like, you're obviously giving icks to someone else too. We all do it. So instead of focusing on the other person's icks, be like, okay, what icks am I probably giving? And try to work on those instead of seeing everything that you could change about someone else. And I think that that energy is a little more productive and inspiring, because then if you're being the best version, then your partner will probably want to do the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think figuring out what exactly the ick is with your partner and figuring out if that's something you can confront them about. Is it like one specific thing that they do, like licking their fingers after they eat? Like something that's like icky. Like, is that something that you can tell them and just communicate that and address it? Or is it like just this whole big thing of what they eat and how they eat and how often they eat? Like, that's like a huge, big problem versus like one tiny little detail. So I think figuring out how, like, what pinpointing exactly what the ick is, and then just trying to figure out how you can communicate that to them. And then even, like you said, offering up the opportunity for them to tell you if they have any icks about you. Because you're right, we're all going to be giving off icks people as well. It's not just a one-sided thing. But I think all in all, I think icks, you can get past them. If as long as it's not a red flag, you can find a way to work through them. So don't dump your partner just yet. I think you can work through it. Which one do you want to answer?
Okay, I like this one. It's a little bit of a long entry, so stay with us. It says, I've been in a, quote, situationship with this man 3 times now, and life keeps getting in the way. We both didn't want to do long distance, as I have another year at college left while he's in my hometown. I'm ready for something again, but he's feeling nervous about his own future and has mixed feelings. We're the best of friends, so we don't want to give up completely. I don't know if I should keep trying to start a relationship or if I should wait until he feels ready to pursue it again. Can't wait to hear what you think. This like breaks my heart, because there's nothing worse than like knowing that you have this insane chemistry and bond with someone, but the timing feeling off. And I think I would try to think of it as you guys are both doing what you need to do in order to come together for a good relationship. Because if you or them get into this relationship before either of you are ready, then it's not going to work anyway. So it's better, I think, to be patient than to push it, because that's giving you the short-term gratification of starting the relationship sooner, but then it could have the delayed downside of not working out because then the other person wasn't ready. And no one gets into a relationship hoping to break up soon. So I assume that you want this to work for a while. And I think giving him, her, I don't know, the time that they need is probably what's going to serve this best. But in the meantime, not letting you guys grow too far apart, like continuing to go on like little coffee dates, phone calls, checking in, like making sure to keep that spark alive. That way, when the time, quote, is right, you're kind of already there. You're both ready.
Yeah, this is tough, because when I read it again, it says you both didn't want to do long distance. You have another year left at college, but you're ready for something again, but he's feeling nervous about it and has mixed feelings. If someone's not 100% giving you everything all in, I feel like you said, you should step away, let each other do what you need to do. And I agree, like the worst thing ever is when timing's off and when you feel like you have something, but it's just, you're both passing each other and like you can't be meeting each other in the same place. I would say try to finish your year at college, do what you need to do, and then, I don't know, reconvene after that. I wouldn't spend your whole senior year like trying to make this work if things aren't quite fitting, right?
Yeah, because you're not ever going to get this time in college back ever again.
Yeah.
But it kind of sounds like this situationship could be there after. So mm-hmm. have fun, embrace the season that you're in. And if it's meant to be after, then it will. Yeah, situationships are really hard because I feel like a lot of times there's not a lot getting communicated because neither mm-hmm. person wants to be overbearing, especially it's like you guys are good friends, which I think is the case with a lot of situationships. And you're like, well, I don't want to ruin our friendship by pursuing them too hard, but also I want to let them know I'm interested. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really hard line to toe back and forth. And there is a question about the friend zone. So maybe we could kind of go into that because I feel like this is similar where you're trying to decide if you should stay in the friend zone or if you should move into a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have a lot of good questions today that there's no right or wrong answer and you really have to trust your intuition and think about what future you would want to happen. So another question we got was, how can I tell if we're in the friend zone or if they have feelings for me? I mean, there's a short answer and there's a long answer. The short answer is that if they like you, you'll know. And if they don't, you'll be confused. I mean, that's obviously easier said than done. But almost in every single situation, I feel like where you know that person like wants to pursue you and wants to be with you, you will 100% know that they want to be with you and they want to pursue you. But if you're confused at all, or if you don't know what they're telling you, if you're reading things wrong and you're being confused, then they don't want to be with you. But obviously that's easier said than done. And I don't know, there's situations in gray areas at all times, but what are your thoughts?
This also like breaks my heart too, because I am someone who I feel like has easy relationships with men. Like I've always gotten along well with guys, had a lot of friends, and there's been many moments in my life where I'm like, do I like them? Do they like me? And us not knowing. And so I think you're definitely right on like, if you don't know and you're confused, then you don't know. But even from my side of like not knowing sometimes if I wanted to pursue something or if I didn't, it's so hard because if the other person just wants to stay friends and you're like on the fence, then you're probably like, okay, I am cool with staying friends. Like I love our bond and I don't want to ruin that. But then if the other person is romantically interested, you're like, okay, I could get on board for this. Like I'm down to try it. And if both people are down for either side and you're both just kind of staying at equilibrium, then it's tough because maybe you both could end up having a great relationship. One of my exes, we were truly just friends at first for months. And then we did move into the dating stage and it was great. We ended up having a great relationship. And I'm glad that we both were willing to try it, even though it could have been complicated. And we both had to like put ourselves out there. And I think a lot of people have such a fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. And that they don't want to, you know, express interest and then get denied because it's like, oh, well, that's embarrassing and they don't want me and you can go down this whole spiral. But I think if you let go of your fear of rejection around it and ask yourself like, okay, if I did express interest and they weren't interested, would that affect the friendship? Like, are you okay with just being friends? Would that then change your dynamic if they know that you are romantically interested in them, or could you just still stay friends?
Mm-hmm. I think in this situation, the best path forward is to ask your friends, to ask their friends if he's interested, like get some behind the scenes scoop, or you just ask their friends if he has feelings or she has feelings for you. I feel like we need to do some behind the scenes work because like you said, this fear of rejection a lot of us have. I feel like the best way to not feel rejected in your face is to ask. I feel like every single time, if you're in a friend group, if you're in this friend zone, wouldn't you have other friends that might know what this other person's thinking or can ask this person mm-hmm. for you so it's less embarrassing?
And they can see your guys' interaction from an outside vantage point mm-hmm. and be like, oh no, it's giving buddy, it's giving pal, it's giving fist bump, it's not giving romantic. Or they're like, oh my God, they're so into you. Do you see the way that he looks at you? Like he's not doing that to anyone else. And sometimes we really need that outside party that is less biased because of course your feelings are going to be tainting this one way or another. Mm-hmm. But the other people can give you a more objective point of view on it. And kind of with the buddy pal thing, if they're also talking about their other romantic interests to you, I also think that's not a good sign. Like if you're, you know, telling each other about your hookups and crushes, I don't think that that means that they see you as someone that they want to hook up with then.
No, not at all. It might seem like they're saying that to make you jealous, but like you said, a lot of the time, there's a chance that they're saying that to pinpoint you as a friend, like put you in that box of friend that's looking for advice. Like he's asking you for dating advice or hookup advice as a friend, not that he's trying to date you.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
my last thought on it is when you guys are together, are you usually together in a group? Mm-hmm. And you just kind of feel like you guys have flirty chemistry, or are you guys like actually going out of your way to spend one-on-one time together? Because I think it's easy in a big friend group that like naturally some people are going to kind of gravitate towards each other and have that crush, even if you're like friends, but kind of a playful friend crush vibe. Or are you actually like having your own relationship on the side without the group there? Are you doing things one-on-one? Are you texting? Are you calling? Like to me, that feels like a little bit more romantic than just having eyes for the attractive person in the group.
Yeah. And if you are curious if you're being put in the friend zone, you could try get that one-on-one time or try and make a flirtatious, I don't know, comment or something and just see how they receive it. If they're really shutting it down or like totally avoid being with you one-on-one or don't react in the best way when you're being flirty, then you're probably in the friend zone, sadly.
Mm-hmm. But I would try it a couple times.
Yeah.
Not like maybe the same action a couple times, but go try a few different things. Like try the one-on-one thing, try the touchiness.
Yeah, I was gonna say touchiness. Like the, yeah.
Because at first it might catch them off guard a little bit and they might kind of decline out of like habit and then later go home and be like, oh my gosh, like I wish I wouldn't have like declined them in that moment. And then they're like, well, they're probably never gonna like gesture again because I like shot them down. So I think you gotta give it a few tries, like not in a creepy or an obsessive way, but experiment a little bit before you fully mark it off as like there's nothing there.
Yeah. And of course, ask for some advice or that outside perspective after you do that from the other friends, like your friends in the friend group. I think they'll give you, like you said, that outside bird's eye view of what they think is true and what's not.
Yeah, if they're like, oh, things are developing. Like now, now they're both considering. Like, and I do think it's going to take a lot more time. If you just have no friendship and you are used to dating someone, like just in the dating scene and going straight to romantic, that is a quicker pipeline from meeting each other, developing feelings, hooking up, having that chemistry. But if you are friends and then you move to romantic, that could take months, years. Like that is a long journey because we box people in our minds as, and if you guys have boxed each other as friends for months, it's going to take as long, maybe like a 3x amount of time to then move you into a new box.
Or that person is delaying it or making it slow down too because you're he or you or both of you are thinking about the implications of what would happen if you guys don't end up well, because that's always a problem. And almost any friend group that has had two people date and then they break up, there's this awkward tension now, or those people can't hang out with you guys at the same time anymore, or it does kind of fuck up the dynamics a little bit. So I can understand the hesitancy on either side.
Because they're weighing, like, if this doesn't work out, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
And is that worth the risk?
Yeah.
And if they have a tiny little crush, then it's probably not worth the risk to them. But if they're like, I'm down bad, I can't stop thinking about them, then maybe they're willing to risk it.
Yeah. Overall, there's a lot of factors, but lean into your friends and test the waters.
Test the waters.
Yes. Next question. Hello. So I met this guy and I think that he's absolutely wonderful. He's so sweet to me, says all the things I've been wanting, does all the things that I've been wanting. But two things. One, how do I avoid putting him on a pedestal? I feel like when I meet people that are incredible, I see them as being above me and too good for me. I know he isn't perfect. If I put him on a pedestal, I will hurt my own feelings when he can't meet my expectations. And number two, how do I remind myself that I truly do deserve good people and good things?
Oh my God, I relate to this so deeply. Okay, so I dated this guy before Clay. actually a couple before Clay. And I literally ended it with him because I thought he was too good for me. Like, I told him, I think at the time I was like, you're literally just like perfect. And I'm never going to be able to live up to that. And I didn't want the guilt of always feeling not enough for them. And I didn't at that time want to change myself. Well, I wouldn't even say change. Be the committed, healthy relationship person that that individual deserved. And so I felt like I was doing them a favor by not dating them so that they could find a partner that could meet them there. And then when I started dating Clay, I had the same feelings come up. I was like, oh my God, I think he's perfect. I don't feel like I deserve him. And then I had to, I did a spiritual reading thing to help me get over that fear. And I was reminded that if I keep doing that, I could not have a partner. Why would I, going back to the sabotaging thing you said at the beginning, I was just sabotaging myself because I was like, I don't feel worthy. But clearly, if these men are dating me and pursuing me, they think I'm worthy. Like, we're all our own worst critic. And that is such an unfortunate reason to not date someone, because you don't feel like you're enough for them. And I know that's not fully part of this. Part of it is you don't feel like you're enough. But then the other part is then them not meeting your expectations. But I would do a lot of inner work on why you are good enough. Like, think about what you bring to the table in this relationship. Like, think about all of your strengths. We all have flaws. We're all not perfect, but usually we date people because of their strengths. And that's what we focus on, because the flaws are the things that aren't great yet. Like, you might still have a lot of potential. And as we're young, like, you're going to grow and evolve with that person. So think of even the potential that you have to, quote, get yourself onto the pedestal that you're putting him on. And then for the part of how to not feel let down when he doesn't meet your expectations, what do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think being concerned about putting someone on a pedestal is totally normal, because when you first meet someone and you have that spark, you're going to have so much of that, like, what's that called?
Like, smitten?
Yeah, you're so smitten. Like, you have like the honeymoon phase. You're going to be in the honeymoon phase. And that's so normal. Literally everyone goes through that. So of course you're going to put that person on a pedestal, because you don't date someone and get these lovey-dovey feelings hoping, like you said, hoping that you're going to break up. No, you're doing that because you see a future with them, or you, I don't know, you envision you guys staying together. So I think you might be being a little too harsh on yourself for saying that you're worried about putting people on pedestals, because that kind of is dating. But do you put them on a pedestal and then avoid icks or red flags that totally jump out, or just things that you're not compatible on? I think that is where it gets to be a problem. So if you have noticed that you kind of ignore those things that aren't, like, you're not compatible on, maybe set up a timeline where 3 months in, or like 6 months in, you sit down and reflect on, does this person have the same values as me? Like, do we both want kids, or do we want to spend our money the same way? I think you have to sit down and reflect on, is this the right person? Because if you get too far down and you just have put them on a pedestal this whole time, you never sit down and be realistic with yourself of whether that person is right for you or not, that's when I think putting someone on a pedestal is not good.
Mm-hmm. And I also don't think you want to date someone where you feel like they're like way above you. You want to like feel like you're in the same field of each other, because you don't want to go your whole relationship not feeling worthy of this partner, because then like, you're not going to have a good sense of self-esteem. You're probably going to compromise your interests, your values, because you see them as above you. And so then it's like what they want. You're probably going to try to make yourself fit what you think they want instead of just being you. And you need to just be you, because that's why they're interested in you. And the things that we see about someone else that we might think are like amazing or their best trait, they might not even recognize like the magic in that. You know, like other people, like you see some cool girl at the coffee shop and you're like, oh my God, like the way that your hair lays on your collarbones is like amazing. This person's like, what? I've like never even noticed that. You know, like the littlest things that we just see so much beauty in other people. And I don't know, like you have that too. We just don't see ourselves outside of ourselves like other people do.
Yeah, and that totally relates to that second part of how I remind myself that I'm truly deserving of good people and good things. I think, I don't know why we're all our own worst critic. I don't know if that's just how we're wired to be so self-critical of ourselves. So I think it's going to take some unpacking, and I think it's going to take some work. And honestly, if you haven't gone to therapy, I think that'd be a great place to start or to add to kind of figuring out how to tell yourself that you're deserving of good things, because that is a lot of like deep work. It's not going to be an easy fix.
And it did probably come from your childhood or a previous relationship where you were rejected and didn't feel good enough. And so figuring out what events happened that you were rejected that now you fear that rejection, because it seems like if you're like, oh, I'm putting them on a pedestal and I don't deserve good people, you're trying to not even have that because you don't even want to get rejected. So you're just like stopping the opportunity before it even happens, because you're like, well, they're going to end up leaving me anyway once they see the real me. And you got to get to like where that came from. And yeah, it could be a sibling, a friend, like so there's something in your past that is making you not feel worthy.
Yeah, because I think there's really good tools like doing positive affirmations or journaling. But I think those are good tools that will help you once you've kind of pinpointed why you don't feel like you're worthy. So I think therapy would be really good for the situation. But all in all, I think just making sure that you check in with yourself in the relationship to kind of make sure that you're not making this person be the end all be all and trying to, I don't know, put all your eggs in this basket of like being with this person and marrying this person and being with them for forever and kind of having blinders on. I think you just need to make sure you pause, because I have a friend who was dating someone recently and she just had to sit down with herself and be like, okay, there's something lacking here and I don't want to end things with this person. I don't want to break their heart, but like we're missing XYZ. And she said it was the hardest thing ever, because it was such a good relationship and they were so happy together. But like this one big piece was missing. And if she had put him on a pedestal or kind of made him better than her, she would have never left that relationship because she'd be idolizing him so much. But she sat down with herself and looked at her values and looked at her priorities of what she wanted. And he wasn't matching the one thing. And even though it was a great relationship, she had to call it off.
And it's tough. Relationships are really hard because they require two people, and you're navigating your relationship with yourself and figuring out who you are while this other person is doing the same. And so we all know like we change and evolve, and then the partner is also going to be changing and evolving. And so as you guys move forward, you're not going to ever be the same people that you first met when you first started dating. And so how do you adjust your expectations and your dynamic as the cards change? Like you're not dealing with the same cards your entire time.
Last thing I'll say is don't be afraid to tell this person that you kind of feel like you're putting them on a pedestal, because maybe they'll come back to you and say that they feel the same way, that they feel like they're putting you on a pedestal. And I feel like that can give you guys a chance to be intimate and vulnerable. And that could also give you a lot of clarity as well.
I love that. Well, those are great. We didn't get to all of the dating questions, so we will get to them though. We have a little log of all of your guys' questions, so please come back. We do our What Would Your Bestie Do the last Friday of every month. And if you have a question, go to our website. There's a What Would Your Bestie Do tab. Submit that question. It's always anonymous. So feel free to pour your heart in. We want the juicy questions, because if you're going through it, you're not alone. Someone else is going through it. And even if you have a unique situation, I feel like we all feel comfortable knowing that other people are going through it. Even if it's a different type of issue, it's healing to know that we're not alone in our struggles.
Yeah. So if any of these questions spark something for you, send it in. We'll get to it. But yeah, I think these are really great and super relatable. We helped you guys out.
We will catch you next week. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, wait, really quick before you go, if you want a chance to be the Arty Friends Listener of the Week, we have something for you. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And for bonus entries, there's so many ways to support our show. Share about us on your Instagram story, engage with us over on TikTok, post on our Facebook group, join the Patreon page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Make sure to send that rating and review to our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast, and we pick a new Listener of the Week every Wednesday. We'll send you a $10 Visa gift card if you win, just as a way of saying thank you, to buy you a coffee, buy you a sweet little treat, whatever you want. Thanks again, you guys. We appreciate you so, so much, and we'll catch you next week.